Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell, a weekly conversation about the things that matter most in our lives. Now, here's your hosts, Stace Cargi and Lindy Turner.
Welcome back to another edition of Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell. I'm Stace Cargi.
And I'm Lindy Turner.
And this is our weekly conversation about all things that matter, our families, our finances, our faith, and... Dun, 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 dun.
Yes, our money.
Big time.
And it's tax season.
Yes, that day. It's that day. You know, Tuesday,
the
April 15th.
The tax man cometh.
Yes, and he don't play around either.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah.
He has no patience.
Tax time is here. If you haven't filed your taxes, you might want to think about filing for an extension. And that's something to talk to your tax professional about.
It is. And, or you can go to clinchpal.net. Back at our podcast where we spoke with Sarah Knight, who is an awesome tax accountant, who's going to give you tips and tricks. And if you're at the last minute, you might need a few for free.
Yeah, she's fantastic. And she really did highlight some great stuff on the podcast at clinchpal.net. Again, you find that clinchpal.net under podcast. Look for Sarah Knight, and it talks about taxes. But yeah, so April 15th.
So have you done your taxes,
Stace? Oh, I did them a long time ago. Yeah, that's one of those things that I like checking off the New Year's box.
I can see that.
You know?
I can see that. Yep.
Yeah.
I got mine done. Mine are so easy these days. It's like, you know, I don't have anything to count. So it's just like, just holding my breath to make sure I don't, you know, have to pay something maybe, you know. But I haven't had to pay in a long time. But I don't know why. Don't you have like
anxiety.
Yes. Of like, yes. But what if I have to pay? And you're like,
yes.
Well, why would you every have to year. Pay? You've been having it held out for every yeah. every check for, you know, 1,000 years that you've been working.
But it still is. It is something that brings a lot of folks anxiety. And, you know, there's so many great free
yes.
resources at irs.gov
yes.
where you can actually file your taxes for free. And you can do this. If you've got a basic return, and Sarah mentions this on the podcast, if you have a very basic return, maybe it's just you and a spouse and, you know, maybe you got a couple kids, but there's not a lot of deductions and things like that. You're not self-employed. It's not really in-depth.
Right.
IRS.gov may be a great resource for you to check out
yes.
to be able to walk your taxes and get them done. The last thing that you want to do is procrastinate to the point where you don't get them done. And then it's so easy, right, to keep putting it off.
Especially if you were to happen to owe taxes,
ooh.
Because then you can't extend, and now that's right. you're in penalty territory.
Yeah, and you'll want, nobody wants that.
No.
I actually was talking to a potential client the other day. And she was explaining that, and I'm seeing this more often, she is a gig worker.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And she allowed a very close friend to gig work with her information.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, because she was doing a friend a favor, is how she thought. You know, mm-hmm. not a big deal in her
right.
mind. The big deal was when
income.
This friend was earning all this money.
Income.
Yes, all this income, of course, gets reported, but this other person thought that their friend was going to pay the taxes on it, which did not happen. Again, assume.
Yes.
And bad things ended up happening, and now this poor person has a tax lien.
Yes.
And when you have a tax lien... there is a potential for you to be put on what they call the do not pay list.
Right.
Which will prevent you from being able to buy a home in most situations, the most basic loans. So this is a big deal. So there were a couple things. Now, she did explain to me that, you know, the friend was trying to make good on it and trying to help her make payments and things like that, which is great.
Yes.
And... this is going to take time.
Yes.
Because it was a significant amount.
Wow.
So she, you know, it's a sad thing. Like it hurts my heart. And the reason why this kind of flagged me is because I was on a business trip recently and I was in an Uber and I was talking to the Uber driver.
Right.
And I was relaying him a story about myself and a certain person named Lindy Turner, who experienced planes, trains, automobiles, and buses trying to get out of Philadelphia on the day of the Super Bowl parade, and Uber said it canceled on us.
Yes.
And what this person said to me was, well, you know, a lot of times they will have family and friends work their Uber stuff, and they will cancel at the last minute because then Uber is picking it up as it was an actual verified ride.
Whoa.
And that's what happened in our case. They charged me, and I had to go through this whole process because this Uber driver literally just left us stranded.
Yes, as we like fast walked through downtown Philadelphia during a Super Bowl parade with ginormous luggage.
That was me.
Trying to get a ride to the airport.
Yeah, it was. So this is a thing. Yes. So I will say this. If you are a gig worker, be mindful that the income that's being brought in is under your social.
Exactly.
So the assumption would be, and I'm not a tax professional, I just want to say this, I'm going to lay that out. This is not Stay saying anything other than what my assumption would be as a reasonable human being. My assumption would be that if you've got somebody working under your social security number, it's ultimately your responsibility.
And I'm pretty sure that's not legal.
Yeah, well, there's that too.
And kind of what you're saying is number one, that income is that is contract income, and it's reported to the IRS on a 1099.
Yes.
So yes, the friends, all the money she worked because she had to give them that number went to somebody else's account.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. That was such a bad decision.
Right. Now, I don't know if this happened in this woman's case, but from what the Uber driver had explained to me, I'm going to use his example.
Uh-huh.
His example with a lot of these Uber drivers when they have the family working under them is that the family member, you know, because, again, that money comes into driver A.
Right.
And so driver A will give driver B a portion of those funds, and he'll keep, you know.
Uh-huh.
So it's a whole thing.
It is a whole thing.
And again, just be mindful that if you are a gig worker, this is not free money.
No. And on the flip side, the one who was using the account, now her or his income is way underreported.
That's right.
So if he were to want to come to Clinch Pal to buy a house,
You got no income.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Those things matter.
They do.
And that's true for any self-employed person. Nobody wants to pay. You don't want to pay any more taxes than you have to.
Right.
But I would suggest that what we really want to think about is you don't want to pay any more taxes than you should be paying, than you actually owe. Because if you absolutely, maybe you can write off so many things to try to get down to the lowest tax burden. But the net of that is what is actually your income for anything when you need to go get credit. Specifically, when you want to buy a home, that net income is the only number that counts. So, and we see it all the time, don't
Every
we?
Day.
Self-employed, that come in. Oh no, well, I make this much money. You're like, your taxes.
Yeah.
You said you made this much money. Oh, but that's not really how much I made.
Uh-huh.
Well,
my
can't
tax
lie
person,
to
my
one
tax
government agency.
Mm-hmm.
And it not hurt you on another one.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I love that you... I love when somebody shows me their taxes and their gross income is, you know, over $100,000 and their net is $5,000.
Exactly.
And it does. It happens. It happens all the time. And they'll look at me like I am insane because I'm sorry, you don't qualify. Well, look at all the money I brought in. You can see the money in my bank account. I can see money in your bank account all day long, but I also see all the expenses that you had.
Mm-hmm.
And those are real. according to the tax return, mm-hmm. and that's what I have to go off of.
Right.
And it really is very difficult mm-hmm. for someone who is self-employed. If you're not being mindful, and I think you hit the nail on the head, Lindy, is we need to be paying what we need to be paying, right? I mean, this is our country. These taxes go to benefit all of us, right? So we need to be able to pay our fair share.
Exactly.
And that said, no one wants to pay more than their fair share.
But
we need to be able to pay our fair share and be able to say, I did my part.
Right.
And I think that that's a really nice way to look at taxes rather than, oh, my gosh, the government's going to take all my money.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's just, it's interesting when the light goes on when you say, it's like, so what you've done is you've told IRS, using your example, that you brought in $100,000 gross and you had expenses, mm-hmm. business expenses of $95,000. So your adjusted income is $5,000. So, but now what you're hoping to do is to tell the Federal Housing Administration that your income is $100,000 and therefore you should, you know, be able to get a big old home loan.
Yeah.
No, because your net income, your actual disposable income is $5,000.
You can't have it both ways.
You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
You cannot
have it
both ways.
It's either A or it's B.
Exactly.
There is no option C.
No, there's not. So, and that is a sad thing to
It is, but we see it all the time. But just be mindful, Tuesday is tax day. Now, in honor of tax day, this is always kind of fun. Mm-hmm. You can Google free stuff for tax day. There's all kinds of little freebies that you can get on tax day just to make the day a little more bearable. You know, sometimes, you know, donut shops will have a free donut or, you know, you can get a free cup of coffee somewhere. You know, so, you know, see what's happening in the area and see what kind of freebies you might be able to score. It's kind of like your birthday that it ain't.
Yeah.
You know, make the burden a little bit easier.
Yeah, a little bit easier. But hopefully, you know, most people have got their taxes filed and have and life is good. And if you happen to be one of those lucky people getting that is getting or has gotten a refund, hopefully you took some advice that we've talked about in the past. You know, using that as an investment or to use it wisely in a way that moves you forward to reach whatever dreams and goals that you have, whether that's home ownership or college fund or whatever. A lovely treat,
yes.
A trip.
Yes. Not that I would know anything about that.
I know, exactly. That's why I said trip, because, of course, you know, that's Stace's candy.
It is. It is. That is what I do. That is my job. One of my favorite tricks, though, with income tax, when I see somebody that has a large refund, is to sit them down and say, what's your goal? First of all, what's your goal? Mm-hmm. That's always where I start. What's your goal? What do you want? If you could paint the picture, what's it look like? Well, I want to buy a house. Okay. And how much are you paying right now for rent? And it may be $700 that they're paying for rent. So we do some calculated numbers and we come up with, okay, so a house payment is going to cost you $1,000. So we got, and I'm just using easy math.
Right.
So we got $300.
Yeah, I'm still over here going, yeah, where can you rent for $700 anymore?
So we got $300.
Continue.
Okay, so we got $300, right? That's the difference. Or what we call payment shock.
Right.
Okay. So you're going to be not in addition to all the other stuff, but we're just going to go with the basic house money.
Right.
So now, if you're going to get a refund of, let's say, $5,000, let's divide that $5,000 by 12 months. What is that number? Now, I'm going to check out on this one because I don't do math like that in my head.
It's like 400 and
thank
something.
You.
No. By 12.
Well, we'll go there. Well, let's do it this way. Let's say you got
it. Well,
let's say you got a 12,000.
12 and 48 is 4. Okay. So
let's say you got a $12,000 refund.
It's around $400.
Easier math.
A little more than 400.
So $400. So now you've got an excess of $100 a month. Mm-hmm. You can take that money, that refund, and you can put it into a savings account and use that to supplement your new house payment every month.
Right.
So it's going to lessen that payment shock for those first 12 months, because your first 12 months as a homeowner, is going to be really eye-opening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything is going to come at you in 12 months. You know, you're going to be coming in from the very beginning where you're transferring utilities and there may be deposits for that.
Yes.
To, oh my goodness, I didn't realize I was going to need a lawnmower. I didn't realize that, you know, my HVAC system ain't doing so well. Or maybe I want to buy a home warranty, which I'm a big advocate of when you first buy a house, because you don't know
maybe
that
history.
Maybe
you want to pay for garbage pickup.
Septic, sewer, all of these things, right, that you may never have had to have paid for before as a renter.
Mm-hmm.
So not only do you have this increase of $300 a month in your basic payment, but you've got all this other stuff that you didn't before.
Right.
And so that to me is a really nice little way to think about a refund, because people will say, oh, I'm going to pay off this debt, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. You want to pay off that? Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've seen time and time again is folks will do that, and then that credit card is still available, and then they turn around and charge it back right back up. So being strategic with your refund is really powerful.
It is. Yeah, and knowing yourself kind of thing. And another thing to also keep in mind is that when you overpay, have more withheld from your paycheck,
yes,
so that you can have a larger refund, that is your decision.
Yes.
And it's important to think about this. So you're treating it like a savings account, mm-hmm, which
without
really
interest.
Means, yes, and you're getting 0% interest in it, and you're actually loaning the government money, mm-hmm, at 0% interest.
Yep.
So, you know, you could, instead of having extra withheld from your check, you could put it in a savings account, have it auto-drafted into a savings account. And, you know, if you have the discipline to not touch it, but it's a really good place to practice having discipline. It won't earn a lot of money in interest, but it will earn something.
That's right.
And it also gets you in the experience of and the habit of and that discipline of putting money in savings, which then goes right into what you were saying. You know, if you become a homeowner,
yep,
there, you know, there is no landlord to call,
mm-hmm,
to, yep, take care of things.
Yeah, many times I've had first-time homebuyers contact me and say, yeah, my sink is leaking. Uh-huh. You have the number of the plumber? You have YouTube? Well, aren't you going to fix it? No.
No. All yours, sweetheart.
No. You know, this is why we have inspections before. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why,
exactly,
you know, we require that you have a home inspection. This is why we have, you know, septic inspections. This is why we have these things, so we can try and mitigate, yeah, before they happen.
Do you know what else we have at Clinch Pal?
What do we have?
We have post-purchase,
yes,
counseling.
We do.
So that can, you know, it's like a new subject. We have counseling to help you think about being able to become a successful homeowner. And then we have other programs to help you be a successful homeowner.
There's a lot to it.
Yes, there is. There is. It's something well worth working for.
Yes.
It's something to be proud of.
Yes.
And it's important, because that home is your asset, probably your largest asset.
Mm-hmm.
And you want it to stay in good repair. You want to do things nice for your house, make, yeah, improvements as the years go by, because it will appreciate in value. You definitely don't want it to depreciate,
yes,
value, because you're not keeping up with repairs and that sort of thing.
So one of the things that I see a lot after income tax season with clients that we work with is I will see where maybe somebody had taken out a finance company loan, maybe $1,000,
mm-hmm,
and they did it at Christmas to help, you know, help. And then I'm going to pay it off with my income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And they pay it off with their income tax, and that's fantastic. And then 2 months later, you know, school gets out, and they want to take the kids on vacation. Well, I'll just go and I'll get a little loan for, you know, $700, $800, and then they get that. And then school season starts, and they got to get clothes for the kids. So they're going to get a little loan, get another, refinance it, and then you go and and you get the thing and it says, hey, we can give you another $300 if you refinance. Well, hey, the fair's in town. So now they do it again. And then we get to Christmas. Well, I'm already paying this, but it says I can get another $400 and my payment's only going to go up $4. So I'm going to refinance it again and then I'll pay it off with tax time.
Yep.
So you see the circle. Now, what does that do to your credit? So I want to just take a second.
Mm-hmm.
When you're dealing with credit on a loan, on an installment loan, which is what this is, every time you either refinance that debt or you pay it off,
mm-hmm.
you have to be thinking about one very important piece of the credit puzzle, and that is length of debt.
Mm-hmm.
Length of debt is a huge portion of your credit score.
Yes.
Okay? It's a big deal. So what happens is if you take out a loan in December and you pay it out in April, you originally had the hit to your credit when they pulled your credit in December for the loan.
Right.
And then theoretically, over time, your credit score builds. It's sort of like you're guilty until proven innocent. The way that the credit algorithm works is that it's saying, uh-oh, I don't know if they're ever going to pay.
Right.
I'm going to drop the score. And then as you make your payments, that will level out. But it's going to take time. So you're not getting that if that debt is only 4 months old.
Nope. Starts all over
it
again.
It starts all over again. So now you never crept up and you're refinancing that loan in April. So now you're taking another hit to the credit score. And then you're doing it again in July mm-hmm. and again. And so mm-hmm. your credit never has a chance to rebound.
Not only does it not rebound, you get further in debt.
Yes.
And you don't actually get the money. You
yes.
borrow $300 and it costs you $400.
Yes.
3 months later, it's like, oh, okay, we can't pay it off. So you can roll it over
yes.
and it costs you another $100.
Mm-hmm.
So every 3 months, it's yeah. costing $100. It's a hamster wheel.
Yes.
That is very hard to get off.
Yes. Origination fees, loan fees, all
yes.
doc prep fees, all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So it is basically the system is set up
mm-hmm.
to keep you in debt.
It is. When you're talking about the algorithms, there are different kinds of debt. The credit report,
mm-hmm.
it queries all your debt, and there are different categories.
Yes.
If you're a homeowner, there's a real estate. You have real estate debt. If you have a car loan, that's a particular kind
mm-hmm.
of installment debt. If you have a personal loan or a signature loan at a bank or a credit union, that's a different kind of debt. If you have credit cards, those are different kinds of debts. Different kinds of credit cards have a different classification.
Yep.
And then you have the payday loans, the
yes.
quick loans, the car title loans. And all of these kind of have a different classification. Some are more are viewed as more desirable
mm-hmm.
than others are. So those payday loans or those quick cash loans are going to be at the bottom of the
yeah.
of the barrel. They're viewed as the riskiest loans, and they're also kind of viewed as desperation
mm-hmm.
Loans because you can't get money in other ways.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about. And of course, credit cards and those kinds of loans are always going to have the highest interest rate,
yeah.
which, if you have a credit card, you get a credit card bill. The law requires it to say, well, if you just make the minimum payment
yeah.
of $25 a
month,
you're
be paying for the next 17 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I see it every month.
Right, exactly. Just how long it would
every
take you to pay that off.
Me.
So always try to pay more than the minimum
yes.
the minimum balance. But real estate loan
yep.
is viewed as the best, then a
yep.
car loan because it's got collateral,
yep.
it's a cascading desirability of credit. So all credit is not the same. And while there may be signs outside of all the doors saying we build credit, it may be building credit in the wrong direction.
That's right. And when they are refinancing your loan, every 2 months, every 3 months, as much as they tell you this is going to help your credit score, I am here to tell you
it
will do the opposite.
Yes.
It will trash your credit score for the simple reason, if nothing else, is length of debt. then all of the other factors on top of it.
Right.
But everything else aside, that length of debt, you will never get there. Mm-mm. But a really good friend of mine. Now, this guy's got his stuff together.
Mm-hmm.
He always has.
Mm-hmm.
His goal is a perfect credit score. He's gotten close.
Right.
Okay. You know, the magic number for him is 800. Okay. No, I'm sorry.
It's 850.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's 850.
Because
he's over 800. Yeah, it's 850. He's gotten to 840. He's close.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't understand why I can't get there. And I said, I will tell you why. And he says, why? I said, because you're 58 years old. And he said, what has that got to do with anything? I said, it's got to do with everything with length of debt. The people that, the closest one I've ever seen, I have a client right now who's at an 848.
That's
and I will
awesome.
Tell you, she's amazing. She is well above retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at her credit report, she has credit cards, like JCPenney cards, mm-hmm. that she has had for 40 years.
Right.
And that is how you get a perfect credit score. It's that length of debt with everything else aside. If you push everything else aside, that's going to be the one they're going to get you on.
Right.
Right? Because you can pay off your cards every month. You can do all of this thing. You can have the mix of credit.
Right.
But at that point, you've probably paid off your home. My friend, he does not have a home loan. That's affecting his credit
mm-hmm.
score. So even though you may think, well, I'm perfect because I don't have debt, that doesn't mean you're going to have a perfect credit score.
Well, the reality is perfection is not possible.
Yes.
I mean, it just really isn't.
It's
and
not.
Here's another thing, Sais. Do we need to be...
Who cares?
I was going to say, why would we want to
right.
strive for a that's perfect right. credit score?
But some people are just... That's
I
that
know.
His goal.
Yeah, we want... Now,
God bless.
We want everyone to have... we want you to have good credit.
Yes.
Or if your goal is to live a lifestyle of no debt... Therefore, you don't need credit, and you have that ability to do that. That's fine,
yes,
too.
Yes.
You know, if credit is a need for any number of reasons in life, i.e. you want to be a homeowner, and you can't save enough cash to buy a house mm-hmm. with cash, or you make too much money to get one of the fabulous products that we can help you with where
that's
you can
right.
qualify with non-traditional credit so you don't have to actually have debt.
Yeah.
So there are reasons why.
Yes.
If nothing else, it's an insurance.
That's right.
Piece. It's like insurance. Don't use it if you
that's
don't
right.
need to.
That's right.
But it can always, if something happens, it could possibly be important to have.
You know why else credit is important if you have no debt at all? Why you want to have a credit score?
Mm-hmm.
Car insurance.
Exactly. You are
people
so
people don't think
right.
about that.
Uh-huh.
But that's a biggie. Car insurance will rate your payments off of your credit score.
They sure
that
do.
That is a big factor.
Yes, it is.
So I could talk. I know you and I both. We could
right.
talk. We could geek out on credit and
sort
income
of our favorite
all day
topic.
Long. It really is. And because.
But if you need help.
Because we're here.
Where would you go?
You come to Clinch Pal.
That's exactly right.
That's what we're here for.
You got bad credit, come to Clinch Pal.
Yes.
You got good credit, come
yes.
to Clinch Pal. Have no credit,
come
to Clinch Pal.
We do it all. I mean, yeah. I mean, because it is so important. And even... Like you said, I mean, a million times, being debt-free, if you're debt-free and you've got that established savings account and you can live that way, that's fantastic.
Come to us so we can celebrate with you.
Right. And how are you doing with your car insurance with no
that's
debt?
That's true.
Because I'm dying to know how the rating is on that. But again, this is the world that we live in, right? I mean, debt is an essential part. And we hear debt and we want to think it's a bad word. Debt is not necessarily a bad word. Debt is a word that we need to take ownership of
mm-hmm.
and how we're going to make it, if we are going to make it a good word, if we're going to make it a bad word. And I'll tell you, I mean, right now I'm paying off medical bills, you know,
yep.
that's a hard thing. You know, my husband has had some significant medical issues
mm-hmm.
and I'm telling you, I had to make some really tough choices
mm-hmm.
and put some stuff on me because I'm like, my husband's 71.
Yes.
Like I'm looking at the end of his working life. As
right.
he's transitioning, and I got to get this stuff out of the way.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can't do this on my own with just my income.
It's really important.
So stepping it up.
So mm-hmm. I would say that debt is credit. They're both important
yes.
words.
Yes.
Really important words. And and there's so many things that go into it in everyone's particular place in life and position in life. But again, not necessarily bad, not necessarily good, but they are very important. And the importance level changes all the time.
That's right.
For example, here we are in where we are in life right now, interest rates on your debt remain high and are probably going to go higher. So now is the time, debt not, you know, not so good. You want to get the high debt paid off. And savings rates, very low.
Yeah.
Not good there. So, you know, everything changes sometimes. So, but if you need help, come to Clinch Pal.
And how do they reach us, Lindy?
ClinchPal.net.
And on that note, we will see you next week. I'm Stace Cargi for Lindy Turner. This is Dollars and Cents with Clinch Pal on WAEW. ClinchPal.net.
Dollars and Cents with Clinch Powell airs every Sunday beginning at 1:15 right here on WAEW AM.